Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All right, welcome everybody to Friday on Political Coffee. You know what that means. It is the day that we allow you the freedom to call and talk about anything politically you want to talk today. And it's really easy. You just pick up the phone and dial 503-589. 1220. 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails always to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Now, as you know, this is a 2-hour show today. In our second hour, as we did yesterday, we will be talking with Stacey Ann, who's, as you know, is down in Orlando, Florida, at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, where she brought us some great interviews yesterday. No doubt she will do so today. So the second hour will be devoted to that. It'll be really hard for you on Freedom Friday to get a question in or a comment, whatever you want to talk about on Friday. In that second hour, it's going to be tough. So I would encourage you to call now. 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. There's a profound threat to your liberty, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. And no, it isn't Kate Brown extending the lockdown till May 2nd, folks. It is the Equality Act passed in the House of Representatives yesterday. You have no idea what this thing is going to do that you're not going to like. I'm going to try to lay it out for you, but give you some resources. It is the most according to Bill Donahue, who's president of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. He called House Bill 5, known as the Equality Bill, the most comprehensive assault on Christianity ever written into law. So also did Franklin Graham. And it's an urgent prayer, folks. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. If we have time, no doubt we will talk about it later. And how Oregon legislators are reacting and how, frankly, how Congress members and how the left is trumpeting this, how wonderful it is. And then the second thing is Senate Bill 554 passed out of committee yesterday. It's even worse than you think. And I'm going to tell you exactly how. It's even worse than what I've even thought it was. I got a little bit of an education yesterday. It passed out of committee. As you know, Republicans walked off the floor. The Senate Republicans chose to not engage in a floor session yesterday. The next one they have scheduled in the Senate is Wednesday next week. We'll see what happens, folks. Let's go to the phones immediately. It is Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say today?
Toomer, you're speaking.
Yeah, who are you?
Irrelevant. I'm a citizen of the United States of America.
Fair enough.
Sir, I want to review events of the last 37 days.
Well, you're going to have like 3 or 4 minutes, and that's all the time I'm going to give you, so you better get at it.
That's since President Trump left office.
Okay.
All right. Let me start yesterday and work backwards on this. Last night, the press announced the United States has declared war with Iran. Before that, yesterday, President Biden announced that he was sharing, he and Kamala Harris, presumably, nuclear codes. Before that, they and Senator Kerry now diplomat care, re-fostered the Iranian nuclear weapon program, knowing they were producing weapons-grade metals, which are used for no other purpose than nuclear detonation, which is much stronger than atomic hydrogen detonation, which has been experienced before internationally politically in Japan. And it scared everybody, but not to death. So before that, also, they provided them with money, even though they have violated all international agreements. International agreement. You're cutting up.
But you're not, so keep talking.
That's after Iran violated their international agreements. Before that, of course, is today. Which is after the fact they have, here's the thing. Due to the renewed nuclear program, weapons were being sold in Syria to Iranians. Two Americans were killed, and four others, not Syrian. Their nationality was not designated, so the United States declared war on Iran by hitting targets of theirs in Syria yesterday. Any further questions?
By the way, I saw last night, and I wanted to know if you were aware of this. Did you see last night a story by Jack Popisic of One American News that Kamala Harris did not know that that strike in Syria was going to happen, and she was furious? Why do you think that would happen if it's true? Guess he left. Well, at any rate, all of that is real and has, in fact, this president, not my president, but has he, in fact, declared war on Iran? No, I don't think he has. I think he is not going to do that. I think John Kerry is... In fact, I got this text last night late about Jack Pabisic in doing what he did. In this reporting that Kamala Harris didn't know about this strike on the Iranian people. And that tells me something. There's certainly a disconnect, but it also tells me there are other forces politically working within the Biden administration right now that are going to complicate this deal that Biden wants to do with Iran, to return to the Iran nuclear deal. And all that's going to do, as this caller pointed out correctly, Iran, from the get-go of this thing, even before Trump got out of it, while Obama, the ink wasn't even dry on this agreement, which, by the way, is nothing more than a treaty. It's unconstitutional in how it came forward, and it should have been litigated as such. It was not. It's a treaty, and that has to go before the Senate. At any rate, the ink wasn't even dry, and the Iranians were literally violating this thing. We've known it all along. Didn't matter. This was the radical ideas of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, Joe Biden wants to go back to that. Wants to go back to facilitating the facade that somehow the Iranians are going to be good actors in all of this. Now, he's saying, and, you know, this is all symbolism over substance, Joe Biden is a leftist, and the people running him, because it's difficult to believe that he has any real cognitive awareness necessarily in what's going on. But the people running him are the Obama people. They are the people running this entire State Department, folks. It's the Obama policy that Biden wants to put in place. Somebody decided that if John Kerry is going to try to renegotiate this deal with the Iranians, that he better do so from a position of strength. So they decided to launch an attack. And they didn't tell Kamala. Now, this tells the mullahs, okay, they're going to negotiate with us from a position of strength. Or was that not it at all? Maybe that's not it at all. Maybe this was Joe. And this is what I sent back to the person who texted this stuff to me late last night, that Kamala wasn't aware of it. Maybe this is Joe pushing back on what happened earlier in the day. And that is that whole group of Democrat legislators that sent a letter to Biden saying, you know, why don't you share the nuclear codes with Congress, a special committee of Congress, and then we'll have to go through a process. You're going to have to declare war because you can use them and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, America would be a smoldering heap of radioactive nothingness if that were to happen, because you can't respond that way. But maybe, what if, this is what I postulated, what if Kamala Harris was working behind the scenes to make that letter, which is basically a personal affront to O'Biden, or maybe it is a shot across the bow, or maybe it's establishing a narrative that is going to lead to him either resigning from office for Kamala or the 25th Amendment, which Democrats have been talking about, right? Maybe this was Joe being offended by that. Maybe he found out that Kamala was working behind the scenes to establish this narrative that Joe isn't capable of having the nuclear codes because there's something wrong with him. It's the obvious explanation, isn't it? Could be both of them, possibly. Isn't this just fun? Yeah, it would have been better had the U.S. Supreme Court actually heard these bills, these lawsuits, rather, about election fraud. It would have been a lot better for them to have gotten involved ahead of time and not allowed this fraudulent stolen election to happen. Yes, I said that, because that's what it is. And maybe someday these 40 other lawsuits that are happening at the state level, maybe someday one of them will actually allow for the presentation of actual evidence that it was stolen. Maybe that'll come out in some of these lawsuits with Dominion suing Mike Lindell, who's put everything on the line, the MyPillow guy. Got an email from an unnamed state employee saying, regarding Senate Bill 554, Jeff, those voting aye on this unconstitutional bill need to be removed from the legislature for violating their oath of office. Why can't they be indicted for committing perjury, sued for making false claims, or sued for committing fraud against the citizens of Oregon? What part of Article 1, Section 27 of the Oregon Constitution is unclear to the sponsors and supporters of the bill? Why can't they be sued? They can be sued. The question is, will anyone? Back in a moment at 6:20. Freddie's up next. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, we're back. It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. It is Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about today? Again, to let you know that Stacey Ann will be live from Orlando, Florida with us in the 7 o'clock hour. So this is the hour, really, that you're going to have to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about politically. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220 emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at kslm.news. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Freddie. Freddie, good morning. What do you have to say today?
Good morning, Jeff. Since the Supreme Court doesn't want to address the voter fraud, then why in the next election, why don't we just go ahead and pack the ballots with a bunch of votes that we printed off the printing machine? Why don't we do that too? Fight fire with fire, Jeff.
Well, I mean,
why not?
So the question would be is, would we get caught?
They're not catching anybody. How can we get caught if they're not catching anybody and they don't recognize? We'll just pack it up. I'll have a semi-truckload of ballots and we'll just pull up there at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why not?
Well, they got away with it, so I mean, it's an interesting question.
Why not? I'm saying, hey, why let them do all of this? Why we could do it too? I mean, we have printing machines, and we could just show up with thousands or millions of votes. Why not?
And we could have all these phantom voters, right, that get registered as Republicans, maybe. Or even Absolutely. Independents, but all of a sudden vote. And all these dead people that we know are still on the rolls, they could vote. And, you know, people could walk into the polling place and say, I'm so-and-so, and I need a provisional ballot to vote today.
Absolutely. Let's just do it. Let's not let them have all of this. We could do it, too, and...
Now, Freddie, are you suggesting that two wrongs make a right?
Well, in this case, yeah. Why not?
There is something sort of important.
Why are we trying to take the high road all the time and we're getting beat up on this thing? Why don't we just take a page out of their playbook and just sort of say we can do it too?
Well, because we actually have a conscience. That's why.
Well, I'll tell you, with this coronavirus, it's evaporating. I feel like
you're not alone, right? I mean, like I talked about yesterday, the insanity of saying a high school cross country runner has to run cross country with a mask on is something that crosses party lines. Any parent who has a kid that has to put up with that. Freddie just ought to go, you got to be kidding me. What's the matter with your brain? You're running outside. It's not even like football.
Having these boys running in the girls thing, if I had a daughter, I'd be beside myself over that.
Well, that was the Equality Act passed in the U.S. House of Representatives, where three Republicans voted for it, by the way, yesterday. Freddie, you're right on. That's a great point. And that issue is going to, the undercurrent of that issue is going to be stronger than I think what we realize. Freddie, thanks for the call. Got to move to Kathy. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Kathy, good morning. Your thoughts today.
Early this morning when I heard about the bombs falling in Syria and Iraq, I thought, well, that didn't take long, did it? The Democrats are in power, and the bombs are falling already. No wonder the Middle East hates us. When Iran shot we've talked about this before, our drone down, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever, but nobody was killed. Our President Trump was concerned about how many people would die if he attacked them. They said 100. So he didn't do it. He got us out of dependency for oil. So we don't have to put up with their garbage. And everybody's calling him a warmonger and a dictator and blah, blah, blah. I was going to thank the Democrats that voted for him. But really, I should be thanking Dominion, right? for the violence in the Middle East. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you should be thanking Dominion. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, by the way, to see how Discovery works as Dominion is suing all these other people, including Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell. All of their lawyers get to, well, they get to engage in Discovery emails,
right,
including the actual software and data logs. And if it is found that data logs were erased in these Dominion voting machines in the time between the election and today, that's a violation of federal law. If all of that comes out in Discovery, here's my prediction to you all, and Kathy specifically on this issue. I think that as Discovery goes forward, you will see these Dominion lawsuits quietly go away, because they do not want the truth of how badly or how purposefully, not badly, how purposefully their software systems are engineered to allow fraud, and that, in fact, it has been erased. That's my guess. You're going to see these things go away because they do not want the truth out there. Kathy, great, great call. Glenn, I want you to hang on through the bottom of the hour break. The Washington, Dwight sent me a great email about Rand Paul's questioning the transgender O'Biden appointee. And it was about this, he told the story about this teenager who made a rash decision. She had her breasts amputated. And the nominee, who is a transgender person, refused to say what's going on in Oregon, that it's okay for minors to get transgender reassignment surgery or chemical castration without their parents' knowledge as young as age 15. He wouldn't, or she wouldn't, say that they would pursue. 6:30, back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Senate Bill 554, I'll get into a little bit more of that. They did not put an emergency clause on it yesterday. That's good. That's very good. Now, let's go back to the phones in a moment. I think it's really important that we look at this issue and talk about it. But today's Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about whatever you want to talk about today. And it's really easy. 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line. And we'll get at it. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. Thanks for hanging on through the break.
Yes, Jeff. About the other caller, the first caller, just remember, the closer war gets to the Euphrates River, the closer we get to John's revelation. Number two, about the agencies of government and all the bills in the District of Criminals, Department of War, Department of Health, Department of Human Services, a common opinion is that all of the ills of society are in man's surroundings, environment, whereas they are in man himself. Hence, all human schemes for the betterment of society must begin in the man himself. Here's the kicker. All the schemes of men to make this world a better place to live in seem to make it a better world, a better place to sin in. because they increase the facilities for sin. So that's what is happening in the District of Criminals. They're just making this a big apple pie to sin in with all these bills they're passing. That's all.
Yeah, it's a pretty ugly thing, especially if you read the actual details and language of what House Bill 5 does or H.R. 5 does. It's stunning. I mean, the religious infringement, I mean, every single pastor, every priest, every rabbi must be talking about this weekend on Saturday and Sunday from the stage, from the pulpits. They have to. It's that serious.
We all know it. The closer we get to Passover this year, it's looking uglier and uglier for all of us. It just makes me very suspicious that between Passover and Ascension Day that we may have a unique surprise or surprises.
Yeah, I hope it's nothing truly bad. Glenn, thank you very much. Appreciate your calling. Be blessed over the weekend. Let's move on to Art. Art, good morning. How are you, friend? What do you have to say today on Freedom Friday?
Hey, happy Friday, Jeff. Two things. This number 5 bill on the federal level has been passed by the House over the last several years. Need to focus on a couple of senators on the Democratic side, and I don't think this bill's going to go anywhere. But you're absolutely correct. We need to follow it and make sure it doesn't go anywhere. As far as yesterday's bill, I wanted to comment. We have a senator who is the Senate for the Albany area, used to be a Republican seat, and this individual took it over a few years back. I think you know who I'm talking about, Jeff.
Yeah.
People of Albany and the surrounding areas here in Salem need to start a recall effort. The simple fact of the matter is she voted to allow your constitutional rights to be eliminated. And as this goes through the Senate, anybody that votes for that dang bill, and it'll be mostly Democrats, as you know, we need to start recall efforts on the state side. I mean, for senators and representatives are a little easier than trying to recall a governor. But I think people in those areas, you have senators that don't care about your rights, ought to be recalled. That's my comment.
Well, you're right.
Today,
and it is. It's one of the few tools that we have. I mean, Republicans walked out yesterday, right?
No.
They didn't walk out over the gun bill. Well, they walked off the floor session. See, yesterday's floor session was the first one actually scheduled where you had to be physically present. Okay, and under Oregon's Constitution, you have to be physically present inside the bar. So literally the edges of the floor of the House and the Senate to vote. If you're not, you can't vote. You can't vote remotely in Oregon. You have to be present on the floor. That's all there is to it. And Republicans just walked off the floor session. They were still in the building, and they were engaging in committee hearings. But they just chose to boycott the floor that day. and shut everything down.
Across the bow, Jeff.
It is.
You know, which was the right thing to do. Hey, if you're going to try to pass this legislative stuff that is ridiculous, we are going to challenge you. And in fact, you know, they passed that rule, if you don't show up, you're going to be fined. And I think that's unconstitutional. But we'll see what develops. But those are my thoughts today, Jeff. Yeah. Anybody
right, Art.
Who... Okay, have a great week.
I completely agree with you. I think that this is truly where we need to be at this point. Anybody who votes for these bills, it's one of the points, and Art, thanks. It's one of the points made.
Great day.
By this unnamed state employee about, in fact, you're violating your oath of office. Now, if you're going to make that argument to somebody because you're out gathering signatures on a recall, and I encourage this, folks, this is your only tool. Besides picking up the phone, calling, or emailing, like many of you did, by the way, thank you for, you know, from 2 days ago, I put the actual, literally the actual connection, how you contact members of the House and the Senate, I put that link so you could just click on it. And in this particular Senate committee, all you have to do is click on the member, the name of each member of that committee. There's 4 Democrats, 3 Republicans. And you could email them, you could call their office. Thanks to those of you who literally took the time to email. That's so important. But this point that you want to make is that the Second Amendment to the Constitution says your right to keep and bear a firearm shall not be infringed. Now, the argument that they're advancing is this. Well, that Justice Antonin Scalia, and this is in the OPB article, by the way, Justice Antonin Scalia suggested in an opinion he wrote in 2008 that local governments and school districts could decide if guns are acceptable in their buildings. Well, certainly is on the federal side. When it comes to a federal courthouse, you can't walk into a federal courthouse and you can't walk into the Marion County Courthouse with a gun or a knife. So I'm not saying that this is unconstitutional, because I think to some extent this is correct, but what it does, it creates these felony traps. The bill was amended, but Fred Girard, who's a Republican leader in the Senate, put it best, and here's what he said. I got to find it in the story, because it really was a very succinct. From our viewpoint, it boiled it down. He said, Senate Bill 554 doesn't make the state capitol off limits to concealed carry. And he said that he and his wife routinely carry guns in the building and they would not stop. Quote, I'll be darned if I'm going to be a sitting duck for a person who wants to come in and start shooting. It's not right. Unquote. Yes. That's the point of it. This creates sitting ducks throughout all of the state because it's going to allow these local governments. Now, get a couple of other things. And I'll talk about those on the other side. Right. Stacey Ann's up at the top of the hour to join me in full broadcasting from CPAC down in Orlando. Well, what? What?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. In a moment, we'll get back to the phones. Want to thank Freedom Heating and Air again for being one of the great sponsors of this radio show and this station. If you need some work done on your heating system or maybe your heat pump system, your furnace, or maybe you don't like the fact that your house is dusty, and that might mean there's all kinds of allergens and other bad things floating around, you can fix it by calling Freedom Heating and Air, and they can come out and look. And first of all, fix your equipment, number one, to make it work right so you're comfortable. But number two is also take care of the problems that come from allergens and things floating around in the air, because they can clean it all up for you. Go to their website, freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net. Anne-Marie writes a great email, says, the unemployment department contact us form. She says, an effective way to make the unemployment department actually help you or answer status questions is to use the contact form, and she gave the link for it. It worked for me in less than 24 hours, she writes. I submitted the form yesterday and amazingly had a text informing me of two weekly deposits applied to my account at 12:30 this morning. They'd ignored my weekly claim since last summer, so I requested a status update. Thought this might help someone else who's listening. Thank you, Anne-Marie, and I bet it does. The amendments to Senate Bill 554 passed yesterday. Supposedly clarified language that a concealed weapon prohibition was limited to only the actual building, not the parking lot or parking structures or bus stop shelter or the adjacent private property. This was the way this bill was drafted, folks. If you had a Safeway next to a library or a city hall or some building that concealed carry was prohibited, the way it was originally written, you would have committed a felony to go into the Safeway store with your concealed carry. You would have committed a felony. Now, maybe that works, or maybe it doesn't. It also said you have to post it, because originally the bill didn't have any signage requirements. So you could literally walk into a government building that had made a decision to prohibit concealed carry. They didn't have to post it under this law, and you could have committed a felony, and you wouldn't even have known about it. But let's just knock all of that aside. Let me just say this. The basic issue is this. If you're at a school function and you've been banned from carrying a gun and a bad guy walks in and starts shooting innocent people, wouldn't you want to have a gun to defend yourself? I would. This bill takes away your right to defend yourself from bad people. That's what it does. That is the only argument you need to make in persuading a persuadable person. Let's go to the phones to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts?
Well, the federal building, I mean, the felony that would be committed, that's been done in cities across America, wherever Democrats have ruled before. It's not a new thing. The people who want not have guns in our possessions have made it to where you have all kinds of restrictions on where you can go with a gun. And we've already seen what happens when there are gun-free zones. Those gun-free zones are only gun-free as long as criminals don't bring guns into them. And
that's right.
We are called criminals just for wanting to be the person who stops a person from committing a crime. An actual criminal who's in the process of shooting people, and for wanting to stop that, we're called criminals. So I'm just responding to what you just said. It's just off the top of my head.
Well, and but it's true. I mean, we are choosing to carry a weapon because we want to defend ourselves and we want to defend other innocent people. And all of a sudden, they're going to make us the criminal for defending ourselves. If we chose to carry a weapon into, say, the Capitol, let's say that in the Capitol, they decide they want to make guns off limit. And we chose to walk in there with a concealed carry, and a bad guy comes in and starts shooting the place up. We draw our weapon and we shoot the bad guy down. We now are a felon, even though we saved lives, and we could be prosecuted.
The thing, and I'm not versed on this. I'm just reacting to what you've been telling us, and my reaction is that from the time the NRA was created, the NRA has saved so many people's lives because it teaches people how to handle guns in a safe manner, and it teaches people how to keep them under control so that don't get a hold of them or all the things that all the accidents that happen. The NRA has been integral to train people in the safe use of guns. And yet the NRA has been hated by the Democrats, and they want to attack the NRA as though it's a criminal organization.
Yeah, the NRA actually filed bankruptcy because they're incorporated in New York State, I think. And they filed bankruptcy, and they're intending to remake themselves over in another state, like Texas. That's my understanding. Because New York Attorney General has made it her goal, got elected, saying that she was going to literally put the NRA out of business. Literally. That's scary stuff, isn't it?
Well, all it is an organization that teaches people the safe use of guns. And it's seen as a criminal organization. Anyway.
I know, it's pretty stunning, isn't it? You're right. Rebecca, thanks.
That is what I called in for. I guess I've used up my time.
Oh, okay, well, you got like 30 seconds. Go.
I called because after the Civil War, the Democrats killed numerous people who were elected under the Republican title, and they didn't want black people in their states being senators and representatives. And so they went out and killed them. And all the people that they killed were Republicans. They weren't just black. They were white and black, and they were killed if they were Republicans.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate it. It's 6:59. Back for one more hour with Stacey Ann live from CPAC in Orlando.